I think I'll have him be the prophet that I need. No, no, he knew that this man would be in the right place at precisely the right time. And he is still in the business of doing that today. He is putting us in a precisely the right place at precisely the right time to minister to somebody, to share with somebody the good news of Jesus Christ. Another helpful example, I think, of that truth is found in the witness of Paul. Paul related what God had told him, but when God, who from my mother's womb, in Galatians 1:5, set me apart and called me by his grace. Indeed, if you look at the book of Acts, the book of Acts is really a record of what this call from God meant in Paul's life. Such a love of God, Paul said, literally constrained him. And when you look at the translation for constrained, that in this sense means to order all the rest of his life. The touch that grace gave Paul ordered the rest of his life. Let me ask you something. Has the grace that God touched you with ordered the rest of your life? Have you felt that? Do you know that? That your Father who created you, who knew all about you before you were ever thought of, had something for you to do. And the knowledge of that should help you plan out the rest of your life. Paul increasingly became convinced, as he wrote to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, says, he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. Why does the cross make the difference for me? Because Jesus Christ died there once and for all, so that my sins would be forgiven. And I wouldn't have to spend the rest of my life trying to earn the salvation that God made possible. In verse after verse after verse, God reminds us that he died once and for all. Jesus Christ came once for us. And his death was powerful. And it paid the price. That's why we're called, right? Because when we give everything to God, when we accept that gift of salvation and we give everything to God, God says, okay, this is what I've got for you to do. It's the call. Paul went on to say in 1 Corinthians 15, if you go back to verse 10, he says, but by God's grace I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not ineffective. However, I worked more than any of them, yet not I, but God's grace that was with me. By God's grace, I am what I am. Nothing we did makes us who we are. No success we have for the kingdom can we say, I did that. We say, by the grace of God, he has made me effective. By the grace of God, he has used me. By the grace of God, he has called me. Well, you're probably thinking to yourself, well, that's great for David, and that's great for Jeremiah, and that's great for Paul, and all the other cool dudes in the Bible that are examples to us of what faith means and what surrendering yourself to the will of God means and how the kingdom can be totally altered by one person's life given in obedience. You probably think that's great for all of that, but what about me? I stumble in here on Sundays. Sometimes I come on Wednesdays, and I'm just trying to make it through. How can I possibly be called like those folks are? My life doesn't look anything like theirs. How does that apply to me? Well, it applies to you, and it applies to me, because the Bible, the entirety of the Bible, is telling us in no uncertain terms that every believer is called. If you look through Scripture, you will see that every believer spoken of is called of God, or the chosen of God, or the ones set apart by God. In Romans 1:6, for example, Paul says that he and the apostles were called to preach the gospel to the nations, including yourselves, who were also Jesus Christ by calling. He didn't say just you few or just you few. He said that the apostles were called to spread the gospel to the nations to reach everyone, because every one of us is called. He also wrote to the Corinthian church saying, Paul, as he begins his letter in 1 Corinthians, he says, Paul, called as an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, and our brother Sosthenes, to God's church at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called as saints. All of us, every one of us. In his letter to the Ephesian church, Ephesians 1, verses 8, verse 18, he prays for this church. He says that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the glorious riches of his inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his vast strength. You may know the hope of his calling. It's for everybody. It's for everyone. No one gets the privilege of coming into church on Sunday or coming to a worship service or gathering together as part of God's family to say, boy, I tell you what, this work ain't for me. All of us have a part to play. All of us have a role. All of us have been given gifts by God so that we can do something special and unique for the kingdom of God. His word gives us the very foundation that we can stand on when we think about his calling. Nobody can adequately come, you see, to the truth of the knowledge of God without understanding that it came from his word. If we don't stand on this word, then what we are standing on is going to give way on us. This is our foundation. And without a commitment to place the authority of God's word first in your life, you're going to be doomed to flounder. This is where we get God's mission plan for us. And it's in Scripture that God has chosen to reveal himself to us and his will for our lives. That is why we spend so much time studying it, because this is God's communication with us. This is God's revealing himself to us. This is God telling us, you have given yourself in obedience, now I'm going to tell you what you need to do. As a person approaches the Bible and opens its pages, you cannot help but come face to face with its author, God. The Holy Spirit is present to open the mind and the heart of God to give us an immediate word from God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's part of his ministry, is to help us understand God's revelation, to help us be able to interpret it, and to help us be able to apply it to our lives. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Without this commitment to encounter God and his word, though, we are left to our own reasoning. And I will only ask how that works for you. When you're left to your own devices, when you don't or won't or can't see that God is standing by waiting to help you, waiting to lead you, waiting to usher you. As we begin this conversation about our calling, we're going to take some time to consider a number of things. We're going to be looking at this idea, who are called? Well, I kind of slipped up and gave you that one, all right. We're all called. But I'll expand on that later, as I know y'all can imagine. I'll expand on that later. Who are called? Then we'll look at, why does God call us? Surely that's got to be the least efficient method for doing kingdom work, right? It's calling us. Because we bring our own baggage when we come into the work of God, right? We bring our own baggage. And God is having to continually come in and live with us and lift us up and enable us and empower us. But man, what a power that is. We're going to talk about why God calls us. We're also going to talk about what a call is. What is a call? I know y'all know it in relationship to folks that have religious vocations. But what is a call? When God reaches into time and he touches you and he says, I've got a plan for you. What is a call? How am I called? How does God do that? I mean, the Bible will tell us so many different ways that God called people. And we'll take a look at how God may be calling you. God is calling you. Then we'll look and we'll answer the question, when am I called? What has to take place in my life before I am able to understand that God is calling me? Total surrender. Obedience. Openness. Willingness. Sometimes God's call will come to overpower those things in our lives. Sometimes God's call will overpower our resistance to that. We'll look at when we're called, and then we'll look at the last thing. How do we live out that call? Once we know what a call looks like, once we know how God is calling us, once we know how to plug into those things that God through the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us, then we will know how to live that out. And listen, that involves every single person in this room. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how disabled you are. It doesn't matter how tired you are. It doesn't matter how excited you are. We have a call to live out. We have a call to love and to serve and to reach in the name of Jesus Christ. We're called. And here's something that I want us all to get a hold of before we go any further in this study. Every one of us is called to something, to somewhere. And somehow, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, God is going to empower us to do what He has called us to do. So worrying about not being qualified to do what He's called you to do is pointless. God doesn't say, I'm going to give you something to do just so you can worry about it. God says, I'm going to give you something to do so in doing it, you will bring glory and honor to my name. I will work with you. I will work through you, even though you feel like you cannot do it, because when I accomplish it, I alone will get the credit. I alone will get the glory. We're called to obedience. And because we're called to do something by God Himself, the call upon us is total. God doesn't say, I'm just going to call you 50% of you. I'm just going to call this for you, this thing. No, He says, I am going to call you. And like we've learned about in praying, like we've learned about in worship, like we have learned about in ministry, we give it everything we've got. Everything we've got. Our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength. We give that to our call. So when we experience those times where we feel pulled in directions, or we feel like we're encountering distractions that are going to take us places that may not be pleasing to God, we need to pray for the grace and the strength that is going to be needed to keep our eyes, our hearts, and our spirit, everything we have, focused on God. God rightfully demands first place in our life. He demands to be first. And by responding to and embracing our call from Him, we honor and glorify Him. A.W. Tozer, I know y'all are going to think I couldn't get through a message without quoting A.W. Tozer. But Tozer said this about the commitment we should have to God in response to His calling on our lives. This is where we stand. Receiving Jesus Christ into your life means that you have made an attachment to the person of Christ that is revolutionary, in that it reverses the life and transforms it completely. It is complete in that it leaves no part of life unaffected. It exempts no area of the life of the total man. To receive Jesus Christ, then, is to attach ourselves in faith to His holy person, to live or die forever. He must be first and last and all. And I'll ask you right now, is God first and last and all in your life? Have you made that commitment to Him? Maybe what God is calling you to do right now is to give your life to Him. Maybe God's call on your life is to unite with the fellowship of this church. Maybe this call that God has got on your life right now is to reach out to a family member or a friend that you know is lost. and to tell them that you can't simply sit quietly by anymore, that you have to tell them that God loves them. And let me tell you what he's done for me. That may be your call. But we're going to take a look at what the call means. And I want us to come into this open-minded. I want us to come into it saying to ourselves, we will do whatever God calls us to do. Let me tell you something. You ever want to be under attack? You start doing what God calls you to do. You ever want to encounter problems with Satan? You start living as God has called you to live. You want to be a church that endures trials from the enemy? Then you become a church that does what God has called us to do. That is where we are. We have to make that decision. Are we going to accept God's call? Are we going to live the life that he wants us to live? Are we going to have the ministries that he wants us to have? Are we going to be the family of God that he wants us to be? Because if so, we will pick up that call and we will be prepared with God to endure what comes next. Sometimes perseverance is a huge part of the call. And that may be where we are right now. But I'll go back to what I said earlier. Maybe there's somebody here who hasn't made that decision. That may be what God is calling you to do. Maybe that may be why Christ is standing at the door and knocking, waiting for you to answer. Will you accept that call today? Let's pray together. Father God, I just thank you so much for the love that you have, for your mercy and your grace. It just is just boundless and endless, and it flows over us constantly, God, and it fills us up to beyond what we can handle. And God, you call us to give that and share that with others. Father, I thank you that you loved us enough to call us into ministry, that you call us to love and to serve and to reach in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, because he has done it for us. Father, I thank you for what was accomplished on Calvary. I thank you for what you accomplished with the empty tomb, God. And I thank you what you can accomplish in the life of a human being in this place today. You are still in the business of changing lives. You are still in the business of calling saints. And God, we respond in love and in gratitude and in joy. Father, thank you for giving us this time together as a family to listen to this beautiful music that is given to worship and praise your name, Father, and what it has taught us about who you are and what your Son accomplished on that cross for us. And what we would be like were it not for a hill called Mount Calvary. Father, I pray that you will take this time and that you will use it to your glory. I pray that you will take the decisions that are made today, God, and you will use it to your glory and your power. And I pray that you will take this church and you will use us to reach this community and the world with the message that you change lives forever. Of course, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this morning. Amen. Let's stand for our time of invitation.